Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this very rainy Tuesday, and it looks like the rain is going to hang here for days. Days and days and days. Pirate fans, your team lost a bad one last night. Almost every game, the team that wins won the game. Very rare, but it does happen, where a team is the one that loses the game. I mean, really loses. The Pirates lost that game last night. Very concerning as to how they did it, because the same old problems cropped up last night that have been concerns from day one with this team. Number one, they don't run the bases well, because they're not a very instinctive team. Number two, even though they have great athletes in so many spots, they're not a great defensive team, because they take lousy routes and get lazy at certain moments in games. And number three, something that has been no issue in May, June, July, August, and almost all of September cropped up last night at the beginning of the year. And remember, and I always love this, well, it's only April. This doesn't really matter. No, they all count. They sit there at this point. You've got X amount of wins. And those wins in April all count. And all those losses you had in April count. And some of the losses in April happened because your closer wasn't good. And he's been awesome all year. And in the clutch when they absolutely needed him, he wasn't good. So, that's where they are. They lost that game. The old saying, it's a must win, which normally is inaccurate, this time is accurate. It is a must win for the Pirates tonight. If they don't win tonight, they will absolutely play in the wild card game. The magic number for the Cardinals is 2. And the Pirates are in a bad spot where the rules say that even though they have the second best record in baseball, they have to play in the wild card playoff game. I think that rule is absurd. I think the regular season has to have some meaning, and the meaning cannot just be winning divisions. Just like the New Orleans Saints never should have played at Seattle in the playoff when Seattle was 7-9 and New Orleans was, what, 11-5, 12-4? Why should they have to play on the road? And once you get in, now you see the tournament 1 through whatever the number happens to be based on what you did in the regular season. And the Pirates don't have that luxury, unfortunately. You have to have some foresight to put together a playoff system like that. I do understand that. And that's one of the reasons why in sports you have crazy things that happen, because you don't have a lot of people in sports with a lot of foresight. And that's the way it is. And so the Pirates are in a must-win tonight with Charlie Morton on the mound against Michael Wacha. So Wacha gets the ball tonight.
How are you doing,
Kyle's
Steve
here.
Jones?
Hey, Bob Buehner is my goodness, Bob.
I'm in the house.
Back from the bush.
I am. Rugby World Cup and all that.
Well, first of all, let me say this without being too melodramatic. All right.
Okay.
I have missed you.
Oh, thank you.
I missed you. How have you been?
Actually, quite well. I've just been doing some legal work this week. Jonathan Papelbaum is setting up a mixed martial arts academy. He's asked me to do some of the incorporating, look at the insurance issues for him. That's kept me busy.
I'll bet it has.
I'm worried about tonight's Pirates game, Steve. It looks like the weather that's hitting State College and Sunbury and the central Susquehanna Valley is out in Pittsburgh. Could be a rainout tonight at the PNC Park.
Yeah, it could be. And then tomorrow will be in jeopardy, too.
And I had to take my television in for repairs after the game last night. Things were thrown at it after the Pirates stranded almost a Major League Baseball record, 16 on base without a run.
Yeah.
The record's 18, by the way.
He kept getting out of it. He kept letting him off the hook. And for a Pirate fan, it had to be a frustrating game to watch. Again, I have no dog in the hunt, so you know, I could be very objective about when I sit there and I objectively tell you, okay, that they take lousy routes in the outfield, that's me telling you they take lousy routes in the outfield. I don't sit there and do this with my heart. Well, golly gee, you know, they've got all... No, they take lousy routes.
Oh,
they don't run the bases. They have no... This team is loaded with a lot of great athletes with tremendous talent and very little baseball instinct.
No, it's a gifted group of athletes, but you're right. Back in Little League when they told you, never make the first or third out at third base, those guys weren't home for that lesson.
That's right.
That's right, they weren't. So, the Bucks are in a must-win, and they might not play tonight. They might not play tomorrow either. I mean, this series might be done.
Well, what they could do, I don't know about St. Louis, but I know that Pittsburgh is off on Thursday. Possibly, if both get rained out today and tomorrow, they could do a doubleheader on Thursday.
Yeah, they could.
But, you know, they've got to get these games in, obviously.
Yeah, they have to. They have to get at least one in. If the Cardinals win, there is no need to then play the other games. There's no need to play any game. And the reason there's no need to is because at that point, all the playoff positions are settled.
And it was interesting, one of the things they announced last night is the Sunday games across the league will start at 3 p.m. so that everybody has stretch. I think last year somebody was in it and the team that they were worried about lost, so they benched their starter. So to save him for the playoffs, not going to happen.
St. Louis,
this year.
St. Louis. St. Louis was Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, I'd keep him on the bench too if I didn't need him.
Oh, they're not going to need him anyway. You'd have to see a 64 Phillies collapse here for this to happen,
and that won't happen in St. Louis.
But you know what's interesting though is that last night, Melanson was not good. Now, Melanson's been awesome in May, June, July, August, and almost all of September. He wasn't good last night.
No.
But, you know, Rosenthal, the last three times that he's faced Pittsburgh, has been terrible.
Yeah, and he wasn't good on Sunday either in their last home game when he gave up that grand slam.
Exactly right. And he'd been lights out for weeks and weeks and weeks. No, not now.
Yeah.
So each team has an issue going in. I think the team nobody wants to play is Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to play Toronto. And they got, you know, and I don't know what the stats of Tulowitzki is going to be.
You know what the interesting thing about Toronto, Steve, is I was looking at the run differentials. You know, how many runs did you score over your opponents over the course of the season? The Pirates are roughly around 100 runs. St. Louis is about 120, 125 runs. Toronto's like 4,050. They're just so far out in front on the run differential. It's actually scary how good they are.
I mean, Bautista, Encarnacion, Tulowitzki, Russell Martin's been hitting. They've got some guys that can just flat out just get to the plate and they can hit. And when Tulowitzki was out there, and of course he's been out, but he made them a much better defensive team.
Yeah. So they're a scary team. They could just waltz right through the whole American League Championship Series. They could just do it.
No question about it. And they have a number one. They can hand the ball to David Price and say, yep, I think the bullpen's okay tonight.
Yeah. Rest the guys in the bullpen. We won't need them.
Well, it's good to have you back, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I taught from January to the end of May, and then I took a summer sabbatical, and now I'm in full swing again.
Well, it's great to have you back. Now, for the audience out there that is worried about where's Kevin, has Bob replaced Kevin, okay, I just want to make an announcement to both of his fans that everything's fine. He'll be back tomorrow.
Is there any truth to the rumor he's at the Bloomsburg Fair in the horticulture building? I don't know.
He told me that this is a week ago, that every time the Bloomsburg Fair comes up, it rains.
Absolutely true. It's in the Farmer's Almanac.
I can second that.
Boy, what a bunch of bitter people.
No. It's just, it's honestly, there have been,
no,
you can almost.
I believe you. I believe you.
If you want a flash flood or a major flood, just look in the calendar for the Bloomsburg Fair, and there's a good chance.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's just one of those things about how they plan it. You know, the last week in September, we've had major league flooding in Bloomsburg where fairs have been wiped out. It's just because it
rains.
That's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I have a theory that it's all the fried food fumes that are, you know, going up into the atmosphere, and it's somehow forming the, you know, the clouds. That's my theory.
Seeding the clouds with oil. Steve, if you can't fry it, it's not for sale at the Bloomsburg Fair.
Okay. So do they fry Oreos?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, they've been ahead of the curve on that one.
Twinkies.
Oh. How about butterscotch crimpets from Philadelphia, the Tasty Baking Company? They fry them.
There was a movie years ago. Nicolas Cage was starring in it with Tay Leone. It was about, it was kind of like an It's a Wonderful Life theme, where a guy gets transported into what would your life have been like. You know, he'd been a big timer on Wall Street, mergers and acquisitions, big timer in M&A. And he goes back, and it turns out he marries the one that got away. And so it turns out that they have a house in New Jersey. He works for his father-in-law in the tire store, even though he runs it. You know, he yep. runs it. So what he does. But see, with her, he's happy. He's got two kids, right? So they go to a party. And, of course, he's in this stage where he's still trying to get to know who all these people are in this other life. And they said, there's one big guy standing there with a plate of ribs, chicken, you know, he fried this, fried that. And he says, I'm going to load up on everything now. He says, well, do you think you ought to have all that stuff? He says, no, I'm going in for, he's going to have a bypass. I'm going in for a cleaning on Thursday, right? And Jeremy Piven plays his best friend, leans over and goes, it'll be dead by Wednesday. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options. auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you extended Q&As with Governor Tom Wolf, and you have a chance to be part of the show every month. Have a question or comment about taxes, government spending, or any other topic that impacts your life? Well, send your questions and comments to Governor Wolf anytime by visiting pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. We'll present your questions to Governor Wolf during every show. John in Mount Lebanon wrote in, when are the politicians going to Hanover Township for our next question? And Phil writes in, will people buying food with Wilkes-Barre is our next stop. Anthony, the award-winning Ask the Governor program from Radio Pennsylvania, now featuring Governor Tom Wolf. Visit pamatters.com to have your voice heard and to view video clips from all our Ask the Governor tapings. Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA, Top Flight Media, and pamatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. I'm ready to answer your questions, so stop by pamatters.com today.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We want to overreact. We want to figure it all out. But what is real? Buffalo's defense is real, but it was real before Rex Ryan got there. Is Tyrod Taylor real? Is Marcus Mariota real? Are the Colts' struggles real? Is Seattle's defensive struggles real? That's what I want to know.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Join me for the Dan Patrick Show weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the WKOK app.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants to send you to Happy Valley on us. WKOK and Selins Grove Ford have a pair of Penn State home game tickets to give away. Listen during WKOK Sunrise for the name of the Penn State great. Later that day, we'll ask you to call in, give that name. Be the right caller to answer correctly, and you're in on the Friday morning drawing for a pair of Penn State home game tickets. From Selins Grove Ford and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Bob Buhner alongside.
Good to see you, Steve. Good to be with you, Steve.
Kevin is... I have no idea.
Judging the some type of animal at the Bloomsburg Fair, I'm not sure what it is, but that's probably what he's doing.
Well, all I know is on this show, he's number one in vacation days. All right, so.
Seniority gets you that.
Bob.
Yes. Okay. I know. They actually don't want him here. I know. But we have to say it's seniority.
Sure. Yeah. Right. It's terrific. Did you see what the Toronto Maple Leafs almost did? The Toronto Maple Leafs are number one in terms of pure franchise value in the NHL. Forbes will tell you that they are worth $1.3 billion.
Is that Canadian money, which means it's worth about 50 cents? But just, no, just kidding.
I would think, well, I would think that Forbes would use everything in American value.
Okay.
And they decided not to put their radio announcers on the team charter any longer, which is a standard practice. And
weird.
They said they were going to save $200,000 by doing this. Really? Okay. Now, the rights holders do pay them.
Sure.
But they just said that they wouldn't travel them and that they would call the road games from a studio in Toronto off of TV. When word got out about that, social media and message boards and Facebook went insane. 19 hours later, back on the charter and back in business.
That's like back in the days of baseball when they announcers were in the studios and they had the telegram or teletype coming in and they had the sound effects in the studio. I mean, that was 1940s.
Mickey Bergstein did the 1954 Final Four for Penn State Radio, which took place in Kansas City from ticker tape.
Yeah.
That's how he did it, from ticker tape. And that's the way it used to be. Ronald Reagan used to do Cubs games.
Yes.
Ticker tape as well.
But that was kind of silly.
Well, I mean, you talk about evolving technology. Technology is at its highest point now, where you go to do a road game, and because of technology, you can't tell it's a road game unless I tell you it is, because it's such a clean signal now.
Oh, yeah. Just like
used
you're
to
down
be,
the street.
It used to be that you would have... they would be done on phone lines. You could tell off the phone line that they were on the road.
Sure.
Flaherty wasn't there.
A little static now and again.
Well, that's just Kevin clearing his throat, Bob.
It sure is.
Brandon Gout, BleedingGreenNation.com. Next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Where Mount Pleasant Mills, Dornsife, and Treverton turn first for news. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to be joined from BleedingGreenNation.com, Brandon Gowden. Brandon, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Hey, glad to be here.
A little different tone this week compared to last week, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say things are looking a little bit different now.
Why, Brandon? Why were things better last week, especially against a team that plays pretty good defense?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the start of the Eagles' success, and I think early on, you know, it was getting the run game back on track, which is something we talked about last week and something they really have to do moving forward. I mean, Ryan Matthews really stepped there up in the absence of DeMarco Murray. I think the offensive line still isn't perfect, but they did block a little better than they have been blocking this season. And, you know, from there, it was the defense that stepped up and the special teams, you know, also with a big play. It certainly wasn't the offense that carried the team, but the offense actually showed some signs of life, unlike in week two.
Chip mentioned after the game, when talking about Darren Sproles, that you know how much he really likes Sproles, and he says maybe we don't use him enough. I know my broadcast partner for Penn State football, Jack Ham, he and I talk repeatedly about Sproles and kind of feel he's a gold standard in that role. Discuss what he means and how they can use him more.
Yeah, Chip Kelly said yesterday on Monday that, you know, he's never been around a guy like Darren Sproles in practice. He's a guy who he just consistently practices as hard as he can, every single practice in a way he's never seen, you know. He said, you know, Sproles is a guy who they do punt return drills and they want him to slow down, but they've stopped telling him to slow down because he doesn't listen to the coaching staff anyway. It's just how he practices, and it's really translated to the field. I mean, he's the guy right now on offense. He's really the only guy who's doing much. I mean, this isn't an offense that has a lot of productive players right now. I think Sproles is not only carrying the team on that respect as not only a rusher but a pass catcher, but also you obviously see his contributions in the return game as a punt returner. He's extremely dangerous now, has 3 touchdowns in his career with the Eagles, which is insane because he only joined the team last year.
When Bradford went play action after the running game got going, did it look like a better passing game?
I think the passing game is still very much a work in progress. I think, you know, Bradford needs to be better with accuracy. A lot of issues are on him, and a lot of the issues are when he's not even being pressured, which is really discouraging because there are just instances where he's just not getting the ball where it needs to be, and it's a mechanical breakdown. He doesn't have his feet set for some reason. But at the same time, he's not getting a lot of help from his wide receivers. The Eagles pass catchers lead the league in drops with 11. So even when Bradford is getting the ball there, he's not getting a lot of help. So like I said, this is an issue that clearly needs to be sorted out.
Is it part rust? Because, I mean, he really has done very little the last 2 years.
You would think that because there has been a big layoff. But at the same time, I feel like some of these throws really aren't – you're not asking him to make really difficult throws here. Some of these throws are routine throws, and he's just not making them. And I think that's really discouraging. I do think there's a chance he could get better as the season goes on. I think he has the talent. I've seen him in training camp in the preseason. He looked good there. He showed that he's capable of doing this. This isn't like he doesn't have the skill. And I think it's just a matter of him figuring it out. I don't think it's a guarantee he does figure it out, but I do think it's possible.
Defensively, obviously the Jets' offense is not very good, with all due respect, but still, did you see an improvement defensively? Although I thought they played well defensively against Dallas.
Yeah, I think this Eagles defense is really underrated in a way. I think they're one of the better defenses in the NFL right now. I think they're top against defending the run. You know, you can't run really well in this Eagles team. The Eagles have only allowed one 100-yard rusher in their last 27 games. And I think that goes back to that one rusher was Frank Gore back last season. So, I mean, they're really good at stopping the run. The secondary hasn't really improved. You look at a guy like Walter Thurman, who's brought in to play safety. He's making plays back there. Nolan Carroll looks like he's a good starting quarterback. Brian Maxwell's still struggling, but still probably an upgrade on what they had last year. So, I mean, this Eagles defense is really solid right now, and they're the ones really carrying the team. I think the Eagles defense could potentially be even better if the offense finds a way to stay on the field and not put the defense in a situation where they have to be on the field all the time.
Yeah, at the same time, they've had to replace Cody Parkey because of an injury. Discuss the direction they've gone in.
Yeah, the Eagles had to place Cody Parkey on injured reserve because apparently he had torn three muscles in his groin prior to the Jets game. So you have to give Parkey a lot of credit for kicking through pain, and yeah, he made a 46-yarder or so. So you know, you have to give him a lot of credit. But his season is done now, which is disappointing because, you know, he showed promise last year as a rookie, broke the Eagles' single season scoring record. But now the team is moving on to Caleb Sturgis, the guy for the Dolphins, who is actually a fifth round pick for them. So some people have been high on him in the past, and he was good at Florida, but hasn't really done much in the NFL. I think he's only 77.5% from field goals. Decent on touchbacks, but not too great or anything. So, you know, there's not a lot of great options at this point, obviously, on the market in the middle of the season like this, but we'll see how this kicker change works out for the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll find out. I mean, they had to. It was necessitated. Mood around town a little bit better? Or is it just better because the Pope was there?
Maybe a little bit of both. I do think I think the town is definitely better. I think, you know, Bradford is still a huge concern with everyone, but I think Eagles fans are looking around at the NFC East and they saw the Cowboys loss. Brandon Whedon doesn't look that good, and more than that, the Dallas defense really just doesn't look that good.
No, not at all.
So, you know, they're vulnerable, and they're still going to be without Romo and Dez Bryant for a while. You look at Washington, Kirk Cousins threw, I think, his 27th interception, which is the same amount as Robert Griffin has, except Cousins has done it in about 600 less attempts, so he's a turnover machine. And the Giants' defense is still pretty bad. I think they've allowed 400 yards at least in their first two games. I think they finally managed to just get under that mark against the Redskins, but yeah, I don't think that New York looks very good. So this division is very much still wide open.
And now it's Washington next. So give me a couple keys as you look at in this game that we should watch for.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a concern still with the run game, obviously, because you look at this Washington defense. I think that's one thing they're definitely good at. And it's going to be an issue with Andrew Gardner, who is arguably playing better. Eagles starting right guard. He's out for the season now, so they're going to put Matt Tobin in there. We're going to see how the offensive line works with him in. And DeMarco Murray's status is still up in the air. It doesn't seem like there's a clear indication he'll play or not yet. He did practice on Tuesday, apparently, which seems like a positive sign. But, you know, that's going to be key for them again, getting the run game going. And then from there, Bradford really has to step up. There's just no way the Eagles can sustain wins with him not being accurate. They can't just rely on defense and special teams every week. Bradford really needs to do his part against this Washington secondary.
And part of that, too, is D'Angelo Hall is out. And that is a huge issue in this game for Washington and a potential big plus for Philadelphia.
Yeah, they do need to get going through the air. I mean, and the Eagles receivers really need to step up and do their part as well. We talked earlier about drops. You know, you look at Nelson Agholor. He was targeted 4 times last week, no receptions. I think there are times where he might be open down the field, and Bradford hasn't seen him. That's been a big issue. I think Bradford is currently near the bottom of the league, if he's not the very bottom. I think he's only attempting, or he has only 5.8 yards per attempt, which is just way too low. The Eagles really need him to look down the field and take shots down the field to open up this offense.
Yeah, and Dallas, by the way, plays at New Orleans. That's the Sunday night game. I don't think at NBC they're jumping up and down.
So, I don't think so either, yeah, with Luke McCown.
Luke McCown against Brandon Whedon. Yeah, this I could see. Yeah, it's like trying to promote luge in the Olympics. Yeah, okay. All right, so Ryan Matthews, I mentioned a couple times when he was brought in. He was kind of an under the radar thing, and I as you know, I've been pretty high on him. What in terms of style? It has nothing to do with DeMarco Murray, who's a fine back, but is there a style with which Ryan Matthews runs that really does help?
I think Matthews just looks a little quicker, honestly, especially getting around the edge on those outside runs. He just seemed to turn the corner a little bit faster, get there. He was also breaking tackles, which is something Murray can do as well. Obviously, a more physical guy, but he just looked a lot more. There's a lot more life in his runs than the ones there were with Murray in previous weeks. And I don't think that's all Murray's fault. I think Murray was clearly hit in the backfield a lot more than Matthews had been. I think the offensive line really, you know, stepped up a little bit there against the Jets. But, you know, you have to like, if you're the Eagles, you have to like the way Matthews is playing. You really have to get him on the field if he's going to be able to keep running with success.
The Redskins have only blitzed 11.7% of the time this year. Does that play into Philadelphia's favor?
I don't know if it does. Chip Kelly said on yesterday that, you know, he kind of almost feels like Sam Bradford is better at times when there's pressure on him. And as I said to you, I think a lot of Bradford's bad throws against the Jets actually came when he wasn't pressured. You know, maybe Bradford likes when they send an extra rusher because, you know, there's an open guy. Maybe he's not feeling comfortable when he's seeing everyone covered and he kind of has to make a decision. So maybe that doesn't play to the Eagles' advantage in a weird way.
Interesting answer. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it very much, Brandon, and we look forward to talking to you again.
All right. See you guys next week.
Brandon Gatton, BleedingGreenNation.com. Bob and I return with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
You may not know it, but your company's always under attack from hackers, spammers, and other criminals.
Sooner or later, without Pentella Data's DDoS mitigation, your network's bound to fail.
But our protection works off-site, watching, waiting, and catching thousands of attacks in real time, keeping bad data away from your servers. So even if there's a battle happening in the cloud or here on the ground, it's business as usual.
It's all possible with the next generation network from Pentella Data.
Now, more than ever, businesses need IT support to be successful. Just look at how Pentella Data's IT pros are assisting the Lehigh Valley's pros. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms utilize Pentella Data IT services to make their day-to-day business run smooth, from wireless guest services to their point-of-sale operations and their servers. We're there because IT is our game, and it's in our name. Pentella Data IT Services. We're in it.
Walgreens has a question. Where do you go when you need a few groceries, but not the grocery store pain? You know, the "this parking lot is a zoo and I need to be home already" pain. Walgreens also has an answer. It's us. With short lines and easy parking, you can get in and out fast with grocery essentials like milk, snacks, and paper towels. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with Card Coke 2 liters or 4 for $5 or $1.49 each and 12 roll packs of Nice Brand bath tissue or $3.99.
Yes, ma'am, this RV has it all.
I love it.
California King in the back, state-of-the-art dinette hub.
Sweet.
Well, how does 10% financing sound?
Sounds like a bad idea. Thanks to the tools and help on Experian.com, I know I have a 798 FICO score, so try again.
What was that sound?
That's the sound of my interest rate going down. According to this Experian score alert, my FICO score is now 816.
You win.
Cue my credit swagger music.
FICO scores are used in 90% of credit decisions, so get your credit swagger on. Go to Experian.com, become a member of Experian Credit Tracker, and take charge of your score.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I think sometimes we overreact because we got it all figured out. We want to be ahead of the curve here. We're going to go into October and November, I guarantee, and we'll look back on September and say, oh, that's right. That's right. I remember that. What, Big Clubbin?
Like when I ordered that Manziel jersey 8 minutes into the Browns-Jets game.
Jonathan Manziel is back and better than ever. Join me for the Dan Patrick Show weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And the WKOK app.
Join News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK 1070. It's your source for breaking local and national news. You'll get a tweet of each story on WKOK and a link to for more info from WKOK.com. And you can find out the guest list for the Dan Patrick Show and the Steve Jones Show. It's another way to keep you informed all day, every day. If you have a Twitter timeline, you need to follow News Radio 1070 WKOK on Twitter at WKOK 1070.
Hi, I'm Stu Schroeder with the Friends of Shikellamy State Park, and I would like to personally invite you to our next event at the marina. On Sunday, October 4th, from 12 to 5, the Friends will have our annual Harvest Festival. We will have a variety of vendors, activities, and entertainment the whole family will enjoy. This is our final event of the season, and we will be highlighting our efforts to raise money for a new swing set and playground at the marina. We are currently at about $10,000 of the $30,000 needed to complete this project. So we'll see you on October the 4th.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. It is very rare when a situation happens as has happened with the Red Sox in the last 2 months with their announcer, Don Orsillo, their TV announcer. Expect Don Orsillo within about a week from now to be announced as the San Diego Padres' new TV voice that will eventually full-time replace Dick Enberg once he steps aside from that job. In July or the beginning of August, it leaked out that the Red Sox were not going to, or and Nesson were not going to renew his contract. Orsillo is not just really good. He is really, really good. And everybody in New England knows it. And you've seen his work on TBS in the playoffs. Well, he's going to be replaced by Dave O'Brien, who also, by the way, is really, really good. But they handled it and botched it in such a way where it's made everybody except one person look bad. And that's the guy who lost his job. And that's because Orsillo has not said a syllable about this. And every game has just done the game. Well, Sunday, he had his final Fenway Park game. And when he did, the Red Sox actually, on the Jumbotron, played a tribute to him. And I mean, evidently the players knew what was going to happen. They all came out of the dugout, and then they saluted him because there have been texts from all over the country. They got a petition, 62,000 names on a petition to retain him. Right? 62,000. And they play this tribute. They give him this long standing ovation. The players came out of the dugout, gave him a standing ovation. And he just kind of like just touched his heart several times and just thanked everybody. But guess who didn't air it? Nesson. Nesson didn't air it.
Steve.
So now Nesson, 24 hours later, now says, well, we're planning on doing something October 4th, his last game. thank goodness the edit room is open for the next week.
Steve, isn't that... And you've been a lifelong Red Sox fan, but isn't that typical of that organization or that group making some real ham-handed decisions?
Well, not in the broadcast area, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Not in the broadcast area. They've always been pretty loyal in the broadcast area. They had Ken Coleman, Ned Martin for years. Ned Martin was to the Red Sox like Harry Callis to the Phillies. But Martin, when it came to the Nesson part, started getting some shabby treatment toward the end as well. Orsillo's been with them for 15 years. Joe Castiglione on radio has been with them for 34 years.
You know, it seems
so
like...
How they handled Larry Lucchino, I mean, you know, you may go back to the days when Gene Yawkey and John Harrington were in charge, and then they tried to have on Tony Conigliaro night. Then there was a coup, and that's all bad. Yeah, that's all bad.
You know, it seems that some baseball organizations think that if they just get rid of or change announcers, their team will get better somehow. The Phillies did that with one of your friends, Chris Wheeler. Chris is a fabulous announcer.
Yes, he is. 37 years and has my full support.
And other than that, he's a great guy, too. I think they figured, well, the Phillies, if we just put wheels in the front office, get him out of the broadcast booth, we're going to have a better team on the field, or so it will seem. And, of course, that didn't happen at all.
Well, the most important part is the product you put on the field.
Yes.
Now, what does the announcer do? If this is how I view my role. My role is to what I do at Penn State. I'm the conduit between the game and the fans. If you can't see it, it's up to me to paint a picture for you to see it. That's, I think, the biggest responsibility that I have. And also to make sure that Jack Ham has all the room possible to tell you why or why not something does or doesn't work. And I think that's the biggest area I see, you know, as the conduit between the team and the fan. It's one more, you know, the coach is the number one, or the manager is the number one with that, especially in college, because the players are not going to be as available. They have class, so forth, and they're not as available in press gatherings and things like that. Meanwhile, as announcers, people can get to us all the time. Here I'm sitting on this show 10 hours a week. Any fan can call in at any time and ask me a question. You can't do that with anybody else in the organization.
James Franklin stopped taking my calls last year, too. So I understand that you're the conduit.
there was an issue there.
Yeah, there was a kind of a slight issue.
No, he's very available. He's available after the game with the media. He's available on the caravan tour. He's available on Tuesdays with the media, Wednesday at Quarterback Club, which he does every week now. He's available every Thursday for the fans for an hour a week. It's just but the number of hours I'm available to talk to fans. And then on top of it, you know, the hour and a half before the game where Jack and I are both out there for an hour where people on and off the air can ask us questions. I mean, that's part of what doing this job is. You're that conduit. You're the one person they can get to more than anybody else in the entire organization. I think that's fair to say.
It is. And, you know, it's part of having giving the fans what I call a feel-good experience. You feel good after talking to Steve Jones and Jack Ham. You feel good after listening to them.
Well, we try, but we also at the same time, and I know people may, there'll be, the vast majority of people will agree with what I'm about to say, and there'll be a few cynics out there that'll roll their eyes. But we try to give you as honest and straightforward an answer as possible, and the same thing on the broadcast. You know, if they're not playing well, you say, look, they're not playing well right now. If they're playing well, then you tell them they're playing well. And cynics won't buy into that, but then again, I don't expect a cynic to know me.
Okay.
And then there are others that do buy into it, you know, because they know it's the truth. So,
called credibility.
Another hour of this broadcast extravaganza, as only we can do it on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Georgia's death row is preparing for the execution in 3 hours of its only woman, Kelly Renee Gissendon.